Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left, and two women will be grinding at the mill, and one will be taken, and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. This is the gospel of the Lord.
As we are standing, let's affirm our faith through these words. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried, he was raised to life on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Afterwards, he appeared to his followers and to all the apostles. This we have received and this we believe. Amen. Please be seated. We have come to another season of Advent. We use purple color as our liturgical color during this season. Why purple? Purple meant for preparation. We are preparing to celebrate the first coming of our Lord Jesus. Preparation, penance, repentance, that also this color means, and also sacrifice. This is a season where we need to be remembering the people who are in need. So, Advent means arriving, coming. We celebrate the first coming of our Lord Jesus. As we celebrate the first coming of our Lord Jesus, we also anticipate the second coming of our Lord Jesus. Today, being the first Sunday in Advent, we lit the first candle. And that candle we call Candle of Hope. Margaret, along with Aaron, beautifully lit that candle. Why we use the word hope? The entire people in the Old Testament, people of God in the Old Testament, kept the hope alive for the coming of the Messiah, coming of our Lord Jesus. Jesus told us about his second coming, a greater hope that is awaiting for us. The entire New Testament writers talk about the second coming, and we live in that greater hope, and thinking all that, we lit the candle of hope. The disciples came to Jesus with two questions. They came to Jesus and they asked, when will this be? That's number one question. They asked the time. When will you come back? The second question they asked is, what will be the signs? Jesus answered these questions. When will he come? He answered saying that no one knows, even the Son of Man does not know. No one knows. So when you read this passage, knowing and unknowing takes place here. Knowing and unknowing go around in this passage. Certain things are known, certain things are not revealed. What is revealed, Jesus expands that, elaborates that, he explains that. That's our discussion today. What is not revealed, we shouldn't be worrying. We don't know. What we don't know, what we don't know. Let us not speculate. Let us not worry about what we don't know. Let us worry about what is revealed. We have to live in the light of the Lord. That's our first reading. So Jesus elaborated. He said it will be like the days of Noah. It will be like the days of Noah. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. What is the problem here? Everyone does it. We do that. We eat, we drink, we also give our children for marriage, and we also take others into our family for marriage. So this is regular thing that we do, business as usual. What is the problem? The problem is they never thought beyond this world. They never looked beyond this life, this routine. They are not bothered about anything beyond what is happening in this world. If you look at their philosophy is eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's their philosophy. Noah knew what was coming. He warned the people. In fact, he knew that the flood is coming, so he went around and preached. He preached for 120 years. He preached about the coming God's judgment. God waited for them to repent. God waited for them to come to him. If they had come, they would have been saved as Noah and his family were saved. But they did not come to the Lord. They did not give attention to the preaching that Noah preached. It will be like the days of Noah. That's what we see now. The message of Jesus is preached all over the world. Sadly, not many people are listening to it. We live in the time of Noah. Noah's time, the evil overtook the world. The people were wicked. They multiplied their wickedness. They did not have the fear of God in them. Their hearts were hard and their ears were dull. No one repented. Nobody thought about God's judgment. They lived irresponsibly. No one thought about their Creator. They lived as if there's no tomorrow. They lived as if there is no life beyond this world. We live in Noah's time. How many of the people out there know about God's judgment? An enthusiastic boy who wanted to preach the gospel met with an elderly man. He was sitting on a bench and he went to him and he asked this question, Are you ready for the judgment day? He looked at him and asked, when is it coming? He said, either today or tomorrow. Then he said, don't tell my wife, she may opt for both days. He never heard the name Judgment Day. He thought that he is referring to that some event that is going to take place in our neighborhood, and I shouldn't be sending my wife for both days. That was his concern. How many people out there knew about the Judgment Day? One day, the flood came, and the flood swept them away. They did not expect it. Warning was given. Nobody gave attention to it. All of a sudden, without anybody noticing it, they were swept away. Only Noah and his family were left behind. Only Noah and his family were left behind to start a new life, to start a fresh life. And that's what exactly going to happen when Jesus comes. People will be taken away, but people will be left behind to start their life with Jesus. We live in Noah's time. Whatever is revealed that is sufficient for all of us to prepare ourselves for the day, we shouldn't be worrying about what is not revealed. We should be worrying about what is revealed. Let's go back to the first lesson that was read to us. Live in the light of the Lord. Whatever light that has come, live in the light of the Lord. Jesus adds some specific instructions to his followers. He adds some specific instructions. And he gives warnings and predictions. He gives apocalyptic images. We did not read that is found in earlier part of Matthew chapter 24. The sun will be darkened. The moon will give the moon not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven. He talked about what is going to come. Jesus is not talking about gloom and doom. I don't think so. What Jesus is saying that these are the things going to come. Be warned, be ready to see that happening. When we read apocalyptic literature, we are not happy. We are not happy because it is weird. It is strange, and it is also scary. Is it scary? Every Sunday in our Apostles' Creed, or even in Nicene Creed, we say that he will come again to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will have no end. Every Sunday we say that. If we say that, why we are scary? Why we consider that as strange? His kingdom is going to come in its fullness. He is going to establish his kingdom on this earth. It will have no end. Why we feel that it is scary? No, Jesus is not saying these things to make us worried or to scare us, but he said this so that we will be prepared. Apocalypse means end of this old and a beginning of new. Apocalypse means a next stage, new life, promotion. That's how we have to take apocalypse. It's an end, but new thing emerges out of this end. So we are waiting for the Lord to come. It's a joyful anticipation. Nothing to be worried or nothing to be scared of. We talk about the second coming on the first advent. Why we do that? Why we do? Why do we talk about the second coming in the preparation for Christmas? The first coming of our Lord Jesus gave hope to the world, but the second coming of our Lord Jesus gives greater hope to his people. So when we come and celebrate the first coming, let's remember that we have a greater hope in the coming, in the second coming of our Lord Jesus. The first coming will be meaningless if there is no second coming. We cannot separate both these events, the first coming and the second coming. Both are inseparable. Fortunately, we live in between these two events. But the interesting thing is, we are the link between the first coming and the second coming. We are the link. We live with the greater hope of his second coming. So put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we read in the second lesson from Romans. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, because his coming is very soon. In the second letter, in the second lesson today, Paul is also talking. Now the salvation is available. It is found in a big way. It was not that during the first time, but now people are coming in big number, and his salvation is available at our doorstep. So be prepared. He is coming any moment. In our first reading from Isaiah, Isaiah talks about this hope, greater hope. He prophesied. He said, no more swords. Swords will be turned into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks. No more conflicts, no more war. This will be God's rule. We live in that greater hope. The first co-worker that I had in my ministry is Isaac Katara, an elderly man, long, long time ago. He was an illiterate. He never went to school. We went together, Isaac and I, we went together by walking village to village, preached the gospel. It was a wonderful experience. I was a very young boy. It's way back in 1986. Good experience, good conversation. Once in our journeys, once we were walking together, he said this. I put it in English. We are visitors in this world. There is a great hope awaiting for us. If there were no such hope, I will throw away this job and go back to farming. We are visitors of this world. We are visiting. That's what he said. If a visitor comes to your home, how many days will he be allowed to stay? If he wants to stay for some more time, we will make a kind of a plan that he runs away. We won't keep the visitors forever in our home. The world is wanting to see that we are sent out of this world. We live in a temporary world. The life, the current life on this earth is temporary. But the life that is going to come is permanent. We wait for that day. We live with that greater hope. In his second coming, as Matthew puts it, one will be taken and another will be left. Here there are two scenarios, two men in the field and two women grinding the wheel. If you look at the similar passage in Luke's gospel, Luke says one more scenario, which is two in one bed. So three scenarios. Let's take all three scenarios. When we look at this passage, we think about rapture theology. People talk about the secret coming of our Lord Jesus. Jesus coming without anyone knowing, silent coming of our Lord Jesus. I don't think this passage talks about all that. Of course, the word rapture doesn't appear in the Bible, so let us not worry about it. What does Jesus talk about these things here? What is he saying? You know, the world has come up with many end time teachings. They talk about millennialism, dispensationalism, they talk about tribulation, many of such things they talk. I don't think we need to worry too much. What is Jesus saying with these three scenarios? One will be taken, another will be left. I think two things come very powerfully. Number one, his coming is swift and sudden. Also surprising. When he comes into the world for his second time, this will happen at the same time throughout the world. Two men were in the field. They were in the morning working in the field. Two were sitting and grinding the wheel. Probably they were sitting in the afternoon grinding the wheel. Two were in the bed. Probably they were sleeping. He comes at the same time throughout the world. And when we look at this, we also notice that one is taken, one is swept away, the other is left behind so that his kingdom can be established on this earth with the people who are left behind. I know we have got some other theology going on in our mind, but this is the interpretation that has come very powerfully these days. We are going to be left behind. The followers of Jesus are going to be left behind so that when the king comes and establishes his kingdom, we will be part of that kingdom. This passage is also talking about when he comes, the separation takes place. One is swept away and one is left behind. Until then, all of them were together. The togetherness is seen now. We don't know who is evil. We don't know who is good. Everyone is together. Jesus also has taught some parables about that. On his second coming, on the judgment, separation takes place. The parable of the sheep and the goat, the parable of the wheat and the weed, the parable of the dragnet. What is dragnet? You go and throw the net in the water, and the net is inside the water. While the net is inside the water, every kind of fish dwell together. When the net is dragged outside of the water, the separation takes place. So the separation comes. So as long as we live on this earth, we are all together. On his coming, the separation takes place. Even when you look at this, people from your workplace, some will be swept away, some will be kept. Even the two people on the bed, husband and wife probably, One is going to be taken away, and another one is going to be left behind. Why Jesus is saying all that? He says, be prepared, be prepared. Now, we need to be prepared. So Jesus says, stay awake, keep awake. He's coming like a thief. Have you ever been a thief's victim? Have you ever been robbed? Thief comes unannounced. They are unpredictable, but they come with only one aim. What is that one aim? To pick up the precious. To pick up the precious. Thief is our Lord Jesus. He's coming to pick up those who are his people. He will grab them. Without anybody noticing it, he is going to come and to take his people on his side. The question is, are you prepared to receive him? Are you prepared to be picked by him? Enough warnings have been given. Are we giving attention to it? I'll just finish with this illustration. In 1980, the skies above Oregon were filled with steam rising from Mount St. Helens. I think you all know about what I'm talking. Geologists warned an eruption of volcano was imminent. Residents living near the area were ordered to evacuate. Road flashing signs were put on the roads. Evacuate the area immediately. Warning, warning, warning. Those flashlights were there everywhere. They wanted everyone to move out of that place. 5 miles away from Mount St. Helens. So a man called Harry Truman lived, 83-year-old man. The officials came to him and said, go from this place, don't stay here. He said, nothing doing, I'm going to stay because I have 16 cats to take care, and I know how this mountain behaves. I know it cannot engulf me, it cannot kill me. The officials pleaded, but then at last they said, it's up to you. So he was left all by himself. On 18th May 1980, at 8:13 a.m., St. Mount Helens exploded with the force of a 23-megaton nuclear bomb. The top 1,500 feet of the mountain disappeared. The eruption heated up the air up to 600 degrees. The sand of the eruption, the sound of the eruption was heard 600 miles away. The eruption was followed by a cloud of ash that covered everything up to the height of 50 feet. Harry Truman's entire property sunk into that mud. The place is now called Harry's Trail. The advice given to all of us is, do not follow Harry's Trail. As we think about his coming, the second coming, it is not a scary event. It's an event where we are joyfully waiting for Lord Jesus to come. Wait for him. Jesus will return at God's perfect time to gather his people, complete his kingdom, and bring justice. Walk in his light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep waiting for his coming and be confident of God's care while waiting. I wish you a happy Advent. May the dear Lord bless us all. Amen. Eat for the response song.
So in our response song called Because He Lives, we sing, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future.